Hey Rebos, I hope all is well. Today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Dalet. We have the tremendous chus of finishing the 15th perek in Masechet Shabbos. And let's get right to it. We are on the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots. We had been talking about a bunch of different things, Sefer Rus. And we had also been talking about, we had mentioned earlier halachos of Kavod Shabbos. And one of the things we mentioned was changing a person's clothes is considered to be Kavod Shabbos. So we're going to kind of talk about that for a second, just depart for that for a second, for a drasha from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. The Pasuk there is talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a tremendous nace, that Sanherib came to wage war on Yisrael, and he was successful in getting rid of the 10 tribes, but he was not able to conquer Yerushalayim. And Hashem did, because Hashem did a tremendous nace, it basically, I forget if it's all of his soldiers or many of his soldiers, basically just dropped dead outside of a siege in Yerushalayim. And the Navi is describing what happened to them. So the Pasuk says, V'tachas kevodo yikar yikod ki yikod ish. This is going to be the subject of debate, but basically, tachas kodo, let's say right as of now, underneath their honor, their kavod, if you remember, Rabbi Yochanan called his clothing the things that honor him, so that's what we're going to talk about. So underneath the honor, there was a fire, like the burning of a fire. So Rabbi Yochanan says, what does that mean? Tachas kodo v'lo kodo mamish. It was underneath their kavod, and not their actual kavod. Meaning that, as we said before, Rabbi Yochanan refers to his clothing as the thing that honored him, so underneath their clothing, he was burned, meaning the person, their body, but the clothing, lo kvodo mamish, not their clothing, the itself was untouched, which is basically, if you can imagine, they basically burst into ash, and all the clothing were left, which is pretty crazy, right, straight out of a movie. So Rabbi Yochanan the Tameh, and Rabbi Yochanan agrees with himself. The Rabbi Yochanan kari lemane mechab dosai. That's what he said. He called his clothing the things that honor him, honor me. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan means. The pasuk means. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, "Tachas kvodo is tachas kvodo mamish." Kvodo mamish. Rabbi Elazar understands kvodo, as Rashi explains over here in that long Rashi, is their actual clothing. So tachas kvodo doesn't. He argues on both pshatim, meaning he agrees that the same thing happened. He argues on both pshatim that tachas kvodo means underneath their actual or in place of the actual kavod, meaning the actual kavod referring to their bodies. And so it means that their neshamas left them. No, sorry, that's the next pshat. Meaning that Rabbi Elazar disagrees with the pshat of tachas and disagrees with kvodo. He said that kvodo means their bodies, and tachas means not in underneath, but instead of, meaning in place of their bodies, was fire. So he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan in terms of what actually happened, that their bodies burned up, but he just darshens the pasuk to mean it a shtickle differently. Finally, the third sheet is our Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Tachas Kvodo, meaning means underneath their kavod, their bodies, Kistreifas Bnei Aaron, just like the burning, of Nadav and Aviv. Malaholan Streifas Neshama Uguf Kayim, Afkan Streifas Neshama Uguf Kayim. So too, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani holds that here their neshamas were burned out, but the bodies were left, just like Nadav and Aviv, right? The Eish Yatzah Neis Hashem that the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent the fire down to burned other than Aviyu, and it burned their neshama, but not their goof, and so the same thing happened here. Amar Abacha Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'shinui begodim min haTorah. How do you know that when a person changes clothing, Rashi says, shu derech kavod lefnei makom, that it's a kavodika thing to change your clothing, either before Shabbos, or we'll see here in the Beis HaMikdash in 1 second, Shanamar, as the Pasuk says, Ufashadus begadav v'lavash begadim acherim. This is Avodah is talking about the Trumas Hadeshen, that when the Kohanim would go do the Trumas Hadeshen, which meant right, the cleaning away of the dust, or I guess the ash, on the Mizbeach every morning, so they would change their clothing, because presumably it was very dirty. So they would change their clothing into less chashav clothing, into regular clothing, to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So you see that you didn't want to get the actual Big Day Kahuna dirty, so they changed out. So you see that this is an Indian of changing your clothes for the kavod, at least here at the Beis HaMikdash. V'tana d'bei Rabbi Shmuel, limedcha Torah derech Eretz. The Torah is teaching us derech eretz. Begodim shebishal bem kedera l'rabo al yimzog l'bahem kos l'rabo. Rabbi Yishmael gives a mashal that the clothing in which a person cooked a dish for his Rebbe, for his master, he shouldn't pour a cup in those same clothes for his master. Meaning when you're serving the master in the grit and the grime, down and dirty, right, you should wear one clothing, but when you come to actually pour, let's say, pour a cup of wine before the king, well, you should presumably get dressed a little bit nicer because you're in his presence. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ginai hu l'tamid chacham shiyotza b'min alayim ha-min tulayim l'shuk. It's inappropriate for a talmid chacham to go out into the market with shoes that have patches on them. Right, a talmid chacham needs to dress the part. He needs to look. People look good and say, "This is the example of the Torah. This is a talmid chacham. Right, he's representing the Torah's Hashem. So you have to look nice." The Gemara asks, "Rabbi Acha bar Chanina nafik? Didn't Rabbi Acha bar Chanina go out with patches on the shoes?" So Rabbi Acha bar Rav Nachman. Yeah, you're right. But toy agav toy. Right? Patches on top of patches is inappropriate. One patch, again, back in the day, Mestama, that was the, you know, I guess that was, nowadays I think the standards, Baruch Hashem, are a little bit different. But back in the day, one patch was okay, but two patches, a patch on top of a patch, that was already inappropriate, not bekavadik. Again, the idea is that a talmid chacham should look appropriate, and certainly nowadays when all of us, right, we live amongst the goyim, and you know, we all have the opportunity to make a kiddush Hashem wherever we go. So I think it's appropriate that all of us should really, you know, obviously assuming we have the means. But Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael in general has means nowadays to at least dress appropriately and look nice wherever they go to make a kiddush Hashem. If I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, kol talmid chacham shenimtza rava val begado. If a talmid chacham finds a grease stain on his clothing, chayav misa. Right, he's a chayav misa. Akrei kach. Shenemar kol misanai avu moves. Al turki misanai ela mishniyai. Mishniyai means, right, don't say that misanai, the ones who hate me, but mishniyai is misaniyai means someone who caused someone else to hate me, right? Shem ma'asin ra'atman be'enei habrios, Rashi says, right, because if you dress disgustingly, right, again, you're going to look up to someone, right, you're showing what the Torah looks like on, right, as on a person's a walking sefer Torah, so if you don't look appropriately, so people are going to say, oh, talmid chacham, they're disgusting, look how they dress, they're manuvel. So you gotta walk around with clean clothing. Ravina Amar Ravad. Ravina said it was a little bit different, not a Ravav, which is a grease stain, but a Ravav was a stain of Shechva Zara, which is also, as you can imagine, not appropriate whatsoever. So, Velo Pligi, and they say that that's not actually. Machlokas Haba Glima Haba Lavusha. Rashi says a Glima is on the outside, Lavusha is on the inside. Right, so right, those stains are appropriate, right, in terms of depending on what you're talking about, on which beggar you're talking about, grease on the outside and shechva zara on the inside. What does it mean when the pasuk says kasher alach avdei Yishayo arom vayichaf arom bebegadim bluim vayichaf manalim hametulaim? My bad, I jumped the gun a little bit. The pasuk says kasher alach avdei Yishayo Avdi Yishayahu Arom V'yachef, right? Yishayahu, my servant, Tashkash Baruch was talking, that he went around Arom naked V'yachef and barefoot. So it can't be that that's Marash, how, you know, what he did. So Gemara says, you're right. Arom B'begadon Bluim, he walked around in worn clothing, or I guess we said Bluim before was patches, with patches. Okay, either way, the clothing that was old. V'yachef B'manalim Hametulayim, and he's walking around with shoes with patches, but it wasn't actually, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do that is to show that, you know, the Avelis, fine, so he didn't walk out, mamash like that, he walked around, right, with clothing that was unbecoming of a Navi, but that was the Tzibur Hashem. Tanan Hasan, we learned in a Mishnah. Ravav al Hamardeya Chotzeitz. If you have a grease stain on a Mardeya is, we've had it before in the Masechta, is a cloth that you put on top of a saddle. So that is going to be Chotzeitz. That is going to be a Chatzitza if you're going to dip it in the mikvah. The din is, if you're going to be Matar, a Kli, so it has to be, as you know, if you ever done Tvilas Kalim, so it needs to be, you have to get off that annoying sticker on the bottom on the cups. Yeah. So why do you have to get that annoying sticker off on the bottom? Because, it depends, because the din is by a Chatzitza is that it has to be something that you care to take off. And presumably, if someone was serving, right, to cover the company, they'd want the stickers on the cups off. presumably. So a chatzitza is only chatzitza if you care that it's there. So if a person has a stain on a saddle, or the cloth that goes on a saddle, so that is going to be chotzitz, because the person wants to remove it, he wants to clean it out, and therefore you have to get rid of it before you dip it in the mikvah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, ad kisar ha'italki. The size is like the size of an Italian isar. An isar was a coin. V'ala begadim mitzad echad eino chotzitz. But if you're talking about clothing, on one side, if the grease stain is only visible on one side, it's not a chatzitza, because people in Mestama are presumably are able to either flip it outside, or they don't really care. But mishnei tzadim, if you can see it on both sides, so then it is chotzitz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishra Mishmal, af mitzad echad chotzitz. Even on one side, it will be a chatzitza. Okay. Boy v'nei Rabbi Shimon Bar Lakish, Mer Bechanina, Mardas mitzad echad o mishnei tzadim. What's the deal with the mardas, with this cloth that goes on top of the saddle? Did you what's the deal with shnei tzadim? What is it? One side? Is it two sides? Right. Well, all we said was it's chotzeitz, but you didn't specify how thick the stain has to be. Can you see it on one side, both sides? So amalei zula shamati. I didn't hear this halacha specifically, but kayotzi ba shamati. I did hear something similar. It's not like the Mishnah, right? The same Mishnah there, mikvos. Rabbi Yossi Omer al banayin mitzad echad, on the clothing of banayin. Well, we'll see exactly what banayin is in a second, but let's for now on the clothing of banayin. So then, some sort of stain is going to be a chatzitza even on one side. V'shel bur, but for a bum, so right, a hobo or of some sort, right? Mishnei tzadim. It's only going to be a chatzitza if it's visible on both sides. V'lo teimar das chashuvim bigdo shel am haaretz. Why should now, for sure, meaning a mardas, a cloth that goes on the saddle, should not be any more chashur than the begadim of an amaretz, of a boor. So if the clothing of a boor is only a stain on two sides, so a mistama, a saddle cloth also, a cloth that goes on the saddle is also going to be both sides. So Gemara says, my benayin. What is benayin? So Rabbi Yochanan, elu tamid chachamim she'oskin b'binyanim shel olam kol yameihem. This talmid, talking about tamid chachamim who deal with the building of the world in their entire days, right? We say at the end of Shachar's, right? What is it? The tamid chachamim marv b'shalom la'olam called bonayich, right? The tamid chachamim are called bonayich, the ones who build the world and build the shalom in the world. So too, tamid chachamim over here are called benayim. And therefore, they're right, if they have a stain on one side, right, that's already even going to be chotzeitz. Again, as it continues with what we've said before, that a talmid chacham has to dress nice; he can't even walk around if there's a stain on one side. Rabbi Yochanan, he's a talmid chacham shemachzir lo aveda b'tvius ayin. The din is that if you learn above Masia, I believe that if a talmid chacham recognizes an item, right, usually you have to ask for simanim. Right. If you find a lost item, a person to get back an item, you need to provide with simanim. A talmid chacham, however, is believed with someone called the tvias ayin. He says, "You know what? I recognize that. That's mine." So we give that item back to talmid chacham. How do you know who's a talmid chacham and who's not? So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Who is a talmid chacham that you'll give him back an aveda with tvias ayin?" Zeh machbed al chaluko lohovcho. This is someone who's machbed to turn his clothing inside out, because again, he's considered talmid chacham. He's gonna. He needs to dress nicely, so that apparently he's at the level of being talmid chacham that you can rely upon. Right? Again, he's careful to portray himself as a talmid chacham, so that must be his stature. Which is a talmid chacham that you can say that he's in charge of the he's going to be the leader. Right, someone who asks a question anything. And he can give you an answer. Afilu Mesechas Kala, even Mesechas Kala, which is one of the small Mesechtos at the end. I guess it's really not a Mesechta. We don't learn enough. Think of the Daf Yomi cycle, but I guess maybe it's officially Brisos. But the beginning talks about Halachas of Kai, Halachas Kala, right? Etc. Fine. I take it back. Do we do that in the Daf Yomi cycle? I don't remember. I don't remember. We definitely, it's right by Adios and Horios. I forget. Okay, anyway, there are definitely a bunch of little Masechtas over there that we kind of fly through. Okay, either way, I don't remember. Right, again, Rabbi Yochanan defining the criteria for who's considered a Talmid Chacham. Who is a Talmid Chacham that the people in the city needs to do his work for him, meaning take care of his parnasa. Zeb shamaniach cheftzo. So this is someone who puts his own pursuits to the side. Osik cheftzis shamayim and deals with cheftzis shamayim his entire life. The Gemara just qualifies. Mani mili the mitrach lerifte. That's meaning that's only to get him some bread. Meaning you don't have to provide him, you know, a 4-story house and a Rolls Royce. But you have to give him his parnasa. Parnasa had a very well when I had a chaver who said the people in the, at least in his neighborhood, he was talking about it in Harnof, but I'm sure it's true elsewhere, that people are not looking for money. They're just looking for parnasa. And people, Baruch Hashem, at least in his circles, he was saying, parnasa is what you need to live, to survive, to have a decent life. And money is already something in Mitzvah Shem that's me'al and me'eva, that's something that's already unnecessary. But okay, fine. Seder. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, ezu Talmud Chacham, what is, again, who's a Talmud Chacham? Who's considered a Talmud Chacham? Kol shesholen oso halacha v'chol makom v'omra. So the Gemara says, l'mayim nafkamina. Why do you need to define a Talmud Chacham as someone who can answer a question from any area of halacha? So the answer is, l'minu yeparna salat tzibur, to appoint a leader over the tzibur. V'ibachad mesechta, and if he knows one mesechta, so then ba'asre, you can appoint him as a leader in his neighborhood. V'ibachulit tanua, then if he knows everything and all of the shas, so then Bereish Misifta, he can be, excuse me, considered a Rosh Hashiva. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, Elu Kalim, oh, it's right. So we had said that's, originally we understood Benayim as Talmid Chachamim. Rabbi Lakish says, against Rabbi Yochanan, a little bit different. Amar Elu Kalim Ha'ulayrim. This is not a little bit different, but very different. This is the kalim, the clothing of an ulayrin. What is that? So Rashi says, a bay bane, that people, a bathhouse attendants, people who work in a bathhouse. Habayim medina sayam. Apparently, these clothing come from overseas. Lameimra de chiyuri. Fine. I mean, they apparently come from overseas, and therefore they will get turned inside out if even they have grease on one side, and therefore that will be chotzeis if you want to be. Dip them in a mikvah. So Gemara says, "Lameimah the chayiri nu. Is that you tell me that those clothing are white? Where does he get that? Right. Rashi says, where do you get that they're white? If you look at the last Rashi in the last skinny line, so Lameimah the chayiri nu midamakpidin al ravav shalayim. Right. From the fact that you see that a person is concerned and is makpid about a stain." So apparently they must be white. Dilu sumke, because if they were red, lo mignu betin of purta, they're not going to be, right, you're not going to see the dirt or the grease stain as well. So apparently these bathhouse attendants, the people who work in the bathhouses, wore white clothing. Ay, v'amar lohu Rabbi Yanai lebanav, right, b'din Rabbi Yanai say to his children, banai al tekrivuni lo bekelim levenim v'lo bekelim shechorim. Do not bury me in white clothing or in dark clothing. Levanim, why not white? Shema lo eske, maybe I won't be zocha, meaning to go up to Shemaim. Ve'eyeh kechasin ben ha'avelim, and I'll end up in l'chora gehenim, chas v'shalom, and I'll be wearing white, and I'll be wearing white amongst all the people who are wearing, who are avelim, who are wearing black. Shchorin, don't dress me in black clothing, because shema eske, because maybe I will be zocha to go to Shemaim, Gan Eden. Ve'yek avil ben achasanim. I'll be like a mourner amongst all the people who are getting married. L'chora, right here you have an Indian that right, mourners wear black and chasanim wear white. Right, you have it in Ferish Gemara. So ela bekelim, rather bekelim haulayrin. That's what Rabbi Yane wanted to be buried in. But how could that? What are you telling me? Alma apparently sumkinin. Who you see that they are. Sumki is red, but you see that they're neither white or black. So why would you tell me that's what Balarin are? That's what Benayin are. There can't be that, because if you're giving a machpit about a little stain, they must be white. Here you see that they are not. The bathhouse clothing are not white. So the Gemara says, Lokasha habaglime habalavushe. That you're right. That the glime, which is which, the outer or the inner, I forget. I forget which is which, but one of them is white and one of them is colored. The stoma, the levushe is the I don't remember. I'm not sure which whatever svar you guys think. One is outer and one is inner, and one was white and one was red. Okay, fine. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Mekaflin. Now we said before in the Mishnah. If you flip back to the Mishnah. We had a discussion in terms of folding clothing and really doing from Malacha from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. We had machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So if you look at the Mishnah is on Kufi Gimel Amud Aleph. So just to flip back there for a second. So Rabbi Shmuel says Mekaflin is a kelim. You can do malacha from Yom Kippur that fell out on Erev Shabbos, right? We said that doesn't happen nowadays, but it used to back in the day. So you can fold, you can do malacha from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Bechelve Shabbos craven be Yom Kippur, and the fats of Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur if it falls out on Sunday. Avoloshi Yom Kippur be Shabbos, but you can't bring the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva says that you can't do either. You can't bring the fats, lo shall Shabbos kerev b'yom kippur, lo shall yom kippur kerev b'shabbos. You can't bring the fats from one to the other at all. So the Gemara is going to learn out a drasha. Right, again, the only really in the Kudus HaMachlokas is whether you can offer Shabbos fats on Yom Kippur that falls on Sunday, right? They agree that you can't offer the fats from Yom Kippur that's Erev Shabbos on Shabbos, and you're going to see that's basically drashas and psukim. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato, right? Olas Tamid b'Niska, right? We're all familiar. Rosh Chodesh lining. So limed al chelve Shabbos shekraven biyom haKippurim. Right? This teaches me that the fats on Shabbos can be brought on the fat on Yom Kippur, right? On Sunday. So Yachal, again, that's Rabbi Yishmael Shita, that you can do that. Right, as we'll see, it's different. Yishmael. Right? Yachal af shel Yom Kippur b'Shabbos. You might have thought that you could even offer the fats from Yom Kippur that was on Erev Shabbos on Shabbos. Tamalomar b'Shabbato can only be offered on its Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva learns the drasha differently. Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato limed al chel b'Shabbos shekriven b'yontif. That teaches me that you can offer the fats of Shabbos on Yontif. Yochel af Yom Kippur. You might have thought that you can even offer the fats of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. Tamalomar. Therefore, the pasuk says b'Shabbato. Right, and that's the drasha that he learns. Keshetim zalomar the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel the Nedarim and Davos craven b'yontif. So what do you see from the words of Rabbi Shmuel? That Nedarim and Nedavos can be, his starting point is that you can offer Nedarim and Nedavos, any voluntary korbanos on Yontif, v'chi yistrik kra l'Yom Kippur. And therefore, you need a pasuk to tell me that you cannot offer it on Yom Kippur. The Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Nedarim and Nedavos ain't craven b'yontif. The Rabbi Kiva's starting point is that you cannot bring voluntary offerings on Yom Kippur, right, which these fats fall under. V'chi istrik pra, and what is the pasuk? You need to tell me the Mishra beyond it, to teach me that no, that fats, right, you can't bring the Nedarim and Nedavos, but fats are, the leftover fat from the korbanos from the day before, they are mutter to be brought and burned on Yontif, but then you don't have a pasuk to teach me that you can burn the fats from Shabbos to Yom Kippur, and therefore he disagrees and says that that in fact is also. Amar Rabbi Zeira says, when we were in Bavel, Hava Omri, I used to say, Had the Tanya, that which we learned in a Braisa, Yom Kippur, Shechalios, Erev Shabbos, Lo, Hayu Token, right, that they wouldn't blow shofar on Yom Kippur that fell out on Erev Shabbos. What was that? So that's actually a din that they used to do every Erev Shabbos. Not Yom Kippur, right? We know that we blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, if you look at Rashi, that there were six tekios they used to blow right before Erev Shabbos. Lahavtil, lahavdil, lahavdil, right? To make sure people know to stop doing work. And to separate from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, because Yom Kippur is kadosh, just like Shabbos, and it's asur b'chol melacha, so they wouldn't need to do these six blasts of shofar when Yom Kippur fell on Erev Shabbos, because, right, what do you, it's 2 days on Tefillah Ma'aseh, right? You don't need to know that all of a sudden something is, you know, Shabbos is coming. On Motzei Shabbos, lo hayu mavdilin, and they wouldn't do Havdalah, as Rashi says, b'tefillah, if Yom Kippur fell out on Sunday, right? Mavdil b'kodesh l'kodesh, because Shabbos and Yom Tov l'chora are the same kedusha, right? So, Rabbi Zera said that when I was in Bavel, I used to think that these halachas that I just said is divrei akolvi, is everybody, is according to everybody. Ki salikna lahasam, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, so ashkechitei leYehuda v'rei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, the yasev ikamar Rabbi Akiva, right? He told me that it's actually Rabbi Akiva's shita. The Rabbi Yishmael, because if it's Rabbi Yishmael's shita, came to Amar Chel v'Shabbos kreven b'yom kippurim. Since Rabbi Shmuel says that the fats on Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur, right? Litaka, you should blow the shofar. Ki heichi dilabi yadei dechal b'Shabbos kriven b'Yom Kippur, so that people will know that the fats on Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur. And Rashi says, look at Rashi, Di Rabbi Yishmael, Kevin to kill Le Yom Kippur Mishabbos, since Yom Kippur is slightly more kal, slightly more light than Shabbos, Litoka, you should blow the shofar, Lahavtil Mihakriv Chelve Yom Kippur Mishabbos, so that you won't bring the fats on Yom Kippur on Shabbos. With Kiyazu, and through this blowing, Yavinu, they will understand, Shu Yom Akal, that Yom Kippur is slightly more kal. And then the next year, when Yom Kippur falls on Moshe Shabbos and they won't blow shofar, then Yadu Shemuter Lakri Bochal BeShabbos. Then people will know that it is in fact Mutter to bring the fats from Shabbos on Yom Kippur that fell out on Sunday. Va'aminole was an Anna, and I said to him, Rabbi Rabbi Zeira said back to Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. He said, "Ana Kohanim Zrizim Heim." I said that no, the Kohanim don't need a reminder. Kohanim has Zrizim. Kohanim are careful. They're Bikian, as Rashi says. But then you don't need to remind them about the halacha. Right? Again, this is not for anybody else. Right? For the Beis Hamikdash, you can burn the fats. Right? The Kohanim know the halacha. You don't have to remind them. Amar Leimar Kshisha, Rei Derev Chista, La Ravashi, Mian Minan Kohanim Zrizim Heim. Well, the Kohanim really that Zariz, really is that true? But tonight we're going to do the Mishnah is in Sukkah towards the end. Shalosh lahavtil es ha'am mimalacha. You blow three blasts to make the people stop doing malacha. Shalosh lahavtil ben kodesh lechol, and three to be to differentiate between kodesh and chol. Kedam Rabbi, l'shar. Oh, 1 second. So what is that talking about? That's talking about. That was when? Just on the Stam Erev Shabbos? That was on a Stam Erev Shabbos. Yeah, just on a Stam Erev Shabbos. And on a Motzi Shabbos. So, Mestama, that's for the Kohanim, because they're blowing in the Beis HaMikdash. So, the Amar Abayis, the Gemara says, no. Like Abayis said, L'shar Amad of Yerushalayim. That was for the rest of Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim, to stop doing Malacha and to separate from Shabbos and weekday. So, Hanami, L'shar Amad of Yerushalayim. So too over here, that the Tkios would be for everybody else, and not for the Kohanim. You could say that the Kohanim are Zoris. The Gemara says, "Will he talk a kihechi diladi shari be knivas yerek mina mincha lamala? Why don't we blow shofar on erev Shabbos on when Yom Kippur falls out on erev Shabbos, so that people will know that on Yom Kippur in general you are allowed to kind of trim vegetables and get them ready for eating? Excuse me." If you look over Rashi says Kniva Kiyahid Mechagado Haiman the Kanev Silka Elahasan the Mechuber Vehachavatolosh. That over here we're talking about a case where you're pruning the vegetables, not that that's attached to the ground, that's a Malacha Vidaraisa, but that's already in your possession. So in general, it's Mutter on Yom Kippur to trim these vegetables to kind of get them ready for eating. That's Asr on Shabbos, but it's Mutter on Yom Kippur Minamenchala Amala. So that you shouldn't do it on this Yom Kippur, which is on Erev Shabbos, but on another Yom Kippur, you should be able to do it. It's Mutter. So the people in general would know in the future, right, that you can't do it this year, but in the future, you can do it. That Yom Kippur is more lenient. So Rabbi Yosef, the fish ain't dochen shvus lahati. Rabbi Yosef said that we're not docha shvus. Shvus is din derabanan, right? You're not allowed to blow a shofar. You're not allowed to blow shofar on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So the reason we're going to waive this din derabanan that you're not allowed to blow shofar, we're not going to waive it for something that's mutter. Right? We're going to only waive it for something that's aser. Trying to tell people that something is aser. We're not going to do it on right to tell people, okay, Shabbos is coming, or you should stop doing malacha or whatever. For example, but here when you're not going to give them an extra heter by blowing shofar on Yom Kippur on the stomach. Is Usher, that's when we blow shofar, it's after Yom Kippur. So therefore, that's what Rav Yosef says, that we're not going to blow shofar to let people know that it's Mutter, the Yom Kippur is more Mekel than Shabbos. For another answer, Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Amar, Shvus Krova Heitiru. They only allowed a Dindra Banan that's coming up soon. But again, here it's Yom Kippur and Erev Shabbos. Shvus Rechoka Lo Heitiru. But they're not going to say we're going to blow shofar now so that next year when Yom Kippur falls out on a Tuesday, so you should know that it's mutter for you to prune these vegetables on that towards the end of Shabbos. I have the reason here. I'm trying to find the reason. Just looking quickly in Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, is because not because you're allowed to prepare from Yom Kippur to Motzei Yom Kippur, but because preparing food towards the end of the fast is going to increase the difficulty of the fast. And that was like a kiyum of Vini Semes Nafsho Seifam. I feel like Rashi said that somewhere, but I can't find it right now. Okay, we'll have to look in Chazar again afterwards. But either way, okay. So basically, two answers. One, why don't we blow shofar to let people know that you can prune these vegetables on a regular Yom Kippur? One, Rav Yosef said, because we're not going to be docha din derabana just to tell people about a heter. And Rav Shisha says that no, because this tkiya is only for future years, right? Right now it's Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos. Mistama, because that is prepping for Shabbos. Right. Because that's prepping for Shabbos, or because, you know, the Maisa, when Yom Kippur goes into Shabbos, and then it becomes Usser. Right? Shabbos, I guess the Lachos of Shabbos maybe starts a little earlier. Okay, either way, the Maisa, it's not going to be Mutter this year, it's only Mutter years after, and therefore we're not going to blow the shofar to tell them about that. Which was Krovai Teru. One second. Did the Rabbanim really allow a Shvus for a Dindra Rabbanan that's close, that's coming up soon, that's coming out right now? But it's not when they did a Mishnah. Yom Tov Shechal Yosei Erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, Token V'lo Mavdilin. Wait, we blow the shofar, right, to separate between Yom Tov and Shabbos, right? Yom Tov, right, has Heter Ochol Nefesh. Should tell people, you know, they have to stop doing Melechas Ochol Nefesh. But we don't say Avdallah from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, let's say Yom Tov fell out on Motzei Shabbos, then Mavdilin V'lo Token. We do Avdallah, right, being Kodesh to Kodesh, but we don't blow the shofar again to make, to tell people that it's now Mutter. Ve'amai, but if you tell me that, why shouldn't you blow the shofar? Right, Litaka Keichi the lady the Shari B'Shkita on the altar. Why don't we say that? Okay, people are allowed to blow shofar. People are allowed to do shkita. So why don't you blow shofar to tell people that the Shabbos has ended and Yom Tov has begun, and now certain malachas are mutter. So the Gemara says you're right. Elon the Chavarta Kedav Yosef. Right. So we see that we do. We don't blow shofar for a shvus that's krova, and therefore the answer of Rav Yosef makes more sense. That simply we're not going to blow shofar to tell someone that is mutter, and that works out with the brisa we just quoted. We're not going to blow shofar to tell someone that it's yontif, and now you're allowed to do the malachas of ochol nefesh. And you see that's dafka the answer that's appropriate. Okay. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Huna. If Amri La, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Yom Kippurim Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, so also B'Kinivas Yarech. You're not allowed to do this pruning of the vegetables that you've already plucked. You're not allowed to, that's something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Amar Rav Mana, Rav Mana says, Tana Vilad Rabbeisa, Minayin Yom Kippur Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, Sh'Azr B'Kinivas Yarech. How do you know that it's Asr? Tama Lamarks, the Pasuk says, Shabbosom. Shvus. Right, you need to rest. You need to, it's a mitzvah. Well, we'll see you in a second. It's a mitzvah asay to rest. Here that we're learning, it's actually an iser, that you're not allowed to do this trimming, this cutting, the pruning of the vegetables. The Gemara says lamai. So what kind of cutting or pruning or trimming are we talking about? Elaim ala malacha. If you're telling me it's about a dinder aisa, baksiv. The pasuk says lo sasa kol malacha. You don't need to tell me that kotzer or the other pruning malachas are aser. As the daraisa, el alav akivas yarech. It must be talking about this pruning of the vegetables that have already been plucked. Apparently, you see that it's dafka aser that when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, this minhag to prune the vegetables towards the end of the fast was aser. Amar b'chiyah bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Kippur shchalios b'Shabbos, mutar b'kivas yarech. Rabbi Chiyah says no, that actually it's mutter. Nisri asks you a question. Hold on, minayin liyam yarech. From the thing we just brought. Minayin liyom akipurim shechal yos b'shabbos shasur b'kinevas yarek, the price that we just said, how do you know it's aser? Tamalama, the pasuk says shabbason. Shavus, right, you have to rest. So lamai, so what kind of shavus are we talking about? Or what kind of, what kind of pruning are we talking about? Ilim ala malacha, if you're telling me about the malacha, the iser d'araisa of aksiv, the pasuk says lo sasakom malacha. Right, ela lav b'kinevas yarek, it must be talking about the pruning of the vegetables that have already been cut and taken out of the ground. So how could you contradict the brisa? How could you tell me that's mutter? So Gemara says, lo, really, lo olam la malacha. Really, when it says shabbason, it's saying that, no, the malacha, we're talking about the iser daraisa of pruning, or of kotzer, or whatever it is. What's the pasuk of Shabbos I'm coming to say? It's to add a mitzvah's asay to the lo sase. That when you violate Shabbos, this is a din that has a lot of ramifications. For example, you know, why don't we say asay docha lo sase on Shabbos if you ever faced with a mitzvah? Right? Why don't we just say that mitzvah of mila is asay docha lo sase? You have a mitzvah to do the mila, an iser to do to cut, to do gozies or whatever the malacha is. Matias neshama to cut a baby, to cut a person. Why did you say asay docha lo sase? So one of the answers, the Pashut answer, is because Shabbos is a lo sase and an asay. That you know, this pasuk of Shabbason is a mitzvah's asay to rest, and you have an iser not to do malacha. So then, once you have that, so then we have a concept ein asay docha lo sase ve'asay, that a mitzvah's asay does not override an asay and a lo sase. So that's the teretz. So that's how who was it? Rabbi Chia would understand the pasuk of Shabbosim. Tani kivazi Rabbi Yochanan, we learned that a brisa like Rabbi Yochanan's shita, Yom HaKippurim Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, so mutter b'knivas yarek, it is dafka mutter. Let's give the parentheses, maftzien egozin, you're allowed to crack open nuts, mafarkasin rimonim, you're also allowed to get crack open rimonim, pomegranates, ben mincho lamala, I guess it's Gemara that... I was wondering where the Rashi is. I guess it's a Gemara. Right? You're allowed to do this from towards the end of Yom Kippur because mipnei agmas nefesh, because that already makes a person more upset when you're preparing the food that you can't eat. So that's increasing the inisem es nafshu seva. Debei Rabbi Yehuda mekane karava. The people in Rabbi Yehuda's house would kind of take karava's cabbage, and they would prune this cabbage on towards the end of Yom Kippur. Debei Rabbi Gardi kari. The Rabbi's house would do pumpkins. Came in the chazad the who kama charfei, but Rabbi saw that the people were doing that early, right before the, again we said you have to do it from the mincha lomala, but people were doing it even earlier. So Amar lahu, he said, fascinating. Also, igarte mimar Rabbi mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan de aser. A letter came from Eretz Yisrael that Rabbi Yochanan said it was aser. Rashi says, fascinating. Why it wasn't true, but why would he do that? Right? He said because kihechi di lekablu mine. Because that was the only way they would accept it from him. Fascinating insight that if Rabbah would have said it on his own in his own volition, they may not necessarily have listened. But once he said, "Oh, we go to Aldor, Rabbi Yochanan sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael saying that it's aser," then they stopped doing it. Even though the taka wasn't true, Rabbi Yochanan himself held that it was mutter. Okay, shkoyach gadol hadron alach ve'eluk sharim. Very exciting tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. We will start Kol Kisvei. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.